Well, this is kind of an adventure lesson today, and it also is a lesson in what we would call nautical terms, and we have with us in our classroom today.
I'm Zach.
And I'm Josh.
And I'm Doris. So let's get sailing, and let's get started, set sail today, and we have to start out by looking at page 42 to review first. We're talking about the Transpac race to Hawaii. It's evidently quite a big deal.
Yeah, so this is a legendary race, so it's been well known for a long period of time, and people and sailors especially talk about it in very reverent terms because it's such an important thing to them.
Right, probably those of you who like to sail and been on ships, you've probably heard about this, but some of us haven't really paid too much attention to this in the past. I know I haven't. Have you?
No, not so much, but as I kind of was going through this advanced feature on setting sail, it got me really excited just to think about the adventure that sailing could be and the fact that you could set out and go all the way from a place like California to Hawaii.
That's true.
It's true, and it's quite the trip because it's a very long distance here. We talked about how it was 2,225 nautical miles, which is even further than what we call standard miles or miles on land. And to be able to sail that distance in a small boat with nothing but the power of the wind pushing you is pretty impressive.
So you noticed yesterday when we started out, we talked about there'll be many different yachts or many sailboats in this. But we're talking about two families here, and one family is the Buffa family.
Right. Also, you'll see the Commons Buffa. This family has been sailing, it says in their family, it's been 34 years since the Commons had sailed in this particular race.
They've been doing a lot of, at sea, not just there, they've done other things too.
Sure.
They've been doing a lot of sailing, and it says here that also that in this particular race, this huge legendary race, that five generations of them have been participating in this race.
Can you imagine that?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so Joel is on there, and his mother is so proud of him because now her son Joel, he's the fifth generation in the family to compete in this race. So that's really been going on a long time.
It has. Mm-hmm.
So that's on their side. Now, the person, the family that made the ship and that belongs to is called the Partridge family.
Right. So also the skipper of the ship, James Partridge, says he's the one that designed, built it. He's an engineer, and he worked with his brother and his two sons. He enlisted them and had them work with him to build the boat.
I'm pretty sure that they've done a lot of sailing, too. And what did they call this ship or this boat?
Yeah, they're calling it the Rapid Transit.
Sounds like a transit system, a subway system.
Well, you want to think fast because it's a speedster. It's a fast boat. It's a race. And Josh pointed out yesterday that a lot of the contributing factors are because it's so lightweight, but it's also strong.
Right. What did they do to make it lightweight, kind of?
Well, they decided to choose certain materials, these carbon fiber materials. Synthetic fibers that are very lightweight and very strong in order to try and make this homemade boat, which is quite remarkable because I'm sure all of the other boats in this race are not homemade but made by professional shipbuilders who do nothing but build ships for a living.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Of course, he's probably professional himself, but he designed it and he built it, and he probably worked for a shipbuilding company at one time, too.
Well, it does say that he is an engineer, but it does not say what kind of engineer he is.
No, but he must have worked for some kind of a shipping, building ships before, don't you think? I think he did.
That is a very good question. So when it says here homemade, it does mean that they're doing it out of sort of their backyard kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Usually people, when they say homemade, they literally mean made at home as opposed to at a professional facility. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he hasn't built other ships or worked for other shipbuilding companies.
Probably has.
Well, and Partridge certainly has a lot of experience just in that it says that you never really stop tweaking a sailboat. So he's always kind of at it, a lifelong hobby of just working on it, making little alterations, improving it, trying to find the best materials to make it a speedster and trying to win the Transpac race. Mm-hmm.
So the race started in July last year, And how many people were on the crew?
So here on this boat, it's a 7-person crew.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out more about it. Now let's find out about this rapid torrent. Let's go look at page 43 today, and we're going to start to read here about this rapid transit boat. It's a veteran to several transpacs, so it's not the first trip it's ever made. Let's read about it.
Today, rapid transit is veteran to several transpacs and is exceptionally spare. There is no refrigerator, no television, no oven, just a single propane burner. The only creature comforts, if you want to call them that, are a few flip-down cots for the constantly rotating crew that works day and night in 3-hour shifts. If racing sounds like drudgery, you've never been out on a boat at night, surrounded by black ocean that reflects silver moonlight, seen a Milky Way glistening across the sky, felt the sensation of being surrounded by millions of invisible creatures. Whales' enormous backs rise and gently disappear in reverent silence. Dolphins slide along the whole side. A trail of phosphorescence flows from the stern. I can get away from the telephone for 9 or 10 days, and nobody can get me, Partridge explains. It's pretty neat being that far away from land. The skipper also offers that the camaraderie forged in sailboat racing is special. It's a huge undertaking. And it's fun to get out there with a bunch of guys with a common interest and see how you can do.
Well, I guess people have different definitions of what fun is. Some people think it's going out with a lot of people someplace, not going out in the ocean with nobody around. But he called it fun, didn't he?
He did. And this seems to be kind of an adventure feature. And so for them, I suppose it's a kind of about a different experience. You know, often we're on our cell phones. We have our TVs. We've got our comfort.
Go to the movies,
these mm-hmm. types of things. But this is a kind of a different experience for 9 or 10 days.
Yeah, they didn't have what we call these creature comforts, which means the things that we usually make us feel good because they're all things that we don't have to live, but they kind of make it more comfortable. Isn't that right?
Yeah, so here they start off talking about how the rapid transit is exceptionally spare and doesn't have a lot of these creature comforts on board. So before yesterday, we were talking about yachts and how some of them don't have sails, but will have literally like millions of dollars worth of creature comforts.
Of course, you know, like refrigerators and things. I don't know if those are necessary. I guess they're creature comforts, but they kind of be nice to, you know, if you catch some fish to put them in the freezer. And, you know,
sure.
So it's not just comfort, but it's kind of, you know, nice for your eating.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we think of creature comforts, we think of physical comforts.
Right.
So things that can make your physical well-being.
Sofas.
Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can be a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, having a refrigerator to have refrigerated food, that would definitely make it more comfortable.
Certainly. And maybe that's why they're using this term exceptionally spare.
It's right. Yeah, that's right. No right. oven, even.
No oven.
No toaster oven. No.
Wow. Just, it says a single propane burner.
So they can at least fry the fish if they catch them, right?
Mm. Yes.
Or they can hold their bread over the flame in order to make toast.
Sounds spare to me.
That is very scary.
Yeah, that's not very many creature comforts, but they do have what they call these flip-down cots. So when they want to take a nap or sleep for a few hours, they just put the cot down on kind of mm-hmm. like a tatami bed, I think.
Right. Well, and then this word flip-down, so it seems like they'll obviously flip it up to save space. It's a small area. And
take a nap, you flip it down.
Right. Very convenient.
Mm-hmm. And then the crew, they rotate, they work day and night in 3-hour shifts. So they work for 3 hours, then they can take a little time off. So that's good.
Right. And I think you need to have that kind of a constant break in order to really stay aware and be really paying attention to what's going on. Because you're not just sailing, you're also racing. So it means that in order to really go as fast as you possibly can, you need to be doing your best job constantly.
Well, and they said it's kind of fun, but, you know, and here it says, if racing sounds like drudgery, to some people say, you call that fun, being on duty and then sleeping and being on duty? Oh, that's really drudgery, which means hard work.
Yeah, hard work and kind of boring, too.
Yeah, right? That's true. But, you know, when you get out there at night and you see the silver moonlight and you get to see the big Milky Way stars glistening across the sky, and you feel like, wow, we got, and there's all these fish and the, you know, whales, the invisible creatures in the ocean, they don't feel like that's bad. They think it's great. They think it's exciting.
Right, right. So there's kind of this contrast, I suppose, that they're comparing the aesthetic or the beauty of just the whole experience of going out, being under the moonlight, you know, seeing some whales swim by versus, you know, no TV, no oven,
right,
being away. Oh, that's drudgery. That's hard work. And they're saying, no, no, it's great. You can experience all the aesthetics of sailing.
What do you think, Josh?
Well, I don't know if our listeners have had a chance in order to be in an area where there isn't a lot of man-made light. So sometimes when we're in cities, the amount of light that comes out is pretty intense, and it's very difficult to see a lot of the stars. But if you're in an area where there's not a lot of light, or sometimes they call it light pollution, you can see so many stars that the sky is really amazing. And that's what they're talking about here, seeing the Milky Way galaxy. If you are far enough out, and this happened to me when I lived in Costa Rica, because I lived in an area where there were not a lot of streetlights, you could look up on a clear night and see the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy in the sky above you, which is an amazing, beautiful sight. Mm-hmm. And you can look at that for hours. You definitely don't need television.
That's true. And then, you know, the dolphins would be jumping around, going around in front of the ship, the boat, and right on the hull. And they'd, wow, there's some more. There's a whole pod of whales, you know. And that would be kind of exciting.
That would be very exciting. I would pay money
that part would be good.
On a boat where there's a bunch of dolphins playing.
Maybe for a few days. I don't know, about 10 days. But maybe a couple of days.
Easily for a couple of
days. But this trail of this phosphorescence flows from the CERN. What is that?
So this is also an amazing thing that you get to see sometimes in the water. So this is something you only see at night when it's very dark. But there are little algae and plankton that when they're agitated, or if a ship is coming through and is stirring up the water, will give off a glow. And this glow is what they call the phosphorescence. And it can be greenish blue. It can be very, very bright, but it's amazing to see.
So that's something, you know, that they really like to experience. And of course, this captain, Mr. Partridge, where he says, I can get away from my telephone for 9 or 10 days and nobody can get me.
Right.
So of course, you can't get them either. That works both ways.
That's true. That's true.
How is everybody? Are you sick? You don't know anything.
Yeah. You know, I don't remember the last time I was away from my phone for 10 days.
Yeah, that's a long time. Huh?
What about you, Doris? When was the last time you were away from your phone for 10 days?
Well, sometimes when, you know, I would go up at the mountains in Taiwan in the early days, and we didn't have very good communication then.
Sure.
And it would be a few days before I got in touch with anybody. You know, and we didn't have all the cell phones in that time, so you could, you'd have to wait until you got back to the city. Mm-hmm. But, you do other things and you forget about it. It's not everything.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly not. And it seems like, you know, when they get away from their phones and whatnot, that there's this camaraderie aboard with the people amongst themselves. That there's kind of you get to experience the people that you're sailing with.
And that's a good word to know, because, you know, it means the fellowship, being together, being with your comrades, doesn't it?
Right. That's working together, word, taking the ship together.
I think it's a French word, isn't it? Looks like it.
Yeah, it could be a French word. And it's also this like feeling of like working together with people as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, anyway, you can get away from this for a few days. And it's pretty neat. Pretty neat just means it's good. It's great. We use that word neat sometimes, just kind of, it's sort of a slang word. It's pretty neat. It's nice to be that far away from the land. And so they kind of think it's very special. It's a huge undertaking, meaning it's a huge project. An undertaking is some plan that you're working on. You're doing it. You call it an undertaking. Mm-hmm. It's something you're involved in, right?
Yeah, and if you could imagine everything that goes into trying to just plan a trip to go 2,500 miles, Even if you were just going in a car, you'd have to plan it out pretty well. But being in a ship in the middle of nowhere with no creature comforts, having to plan out all the food and make sure that the water is okay, that's a lot of details, and it's a huge undertaking.
Right. And so they get kind of a common interest of being together like that. And so it goes on here to talk a little bit more about the fact is that now this is the rapid transit thing, and they're on this race. Remember, it's a race, too. It's kind of a family affair. Let's read the last section.
Family Affair. It was Commons Buffa's father, Lewis Sanford Commons, who raised the family halyard for racing. Between 1957 and 1983, he completed 10 transpacks. By the time Commons Buffa was 12, she was racing with her dad on the family's Cal 40, a boat she still sails today. When she was 20, she joined three others on a year-long voyage from Taiwan to Borneo. "It's in the blood," Commons Buffa shares. "Sailing makes me happy. It's a free and peaceful feeling." Sailing since he was 4 years old, Joel Buffa graduated from the California Maritime Academy when he was 22. Already, he's operated a 300-foot ship around the world. His secret to sailing? "People think you have to have a ton of money, but you don't," he shares, smiling. "Just the owner does."
So now we get back to this family thing. So we talked about at the beginning this Cindy Lou, whose father was Lewis Sanford Commons, and he raised the family halyard for racing. Now, this halyard is kind of a strange word to me.
Yeah, so there are a lot of really strange words on sailboats, especially because they have very special names for the different types of ropes or lines that do very specific things on a sailboat. And a halyard is one of those ropes that is used for raising things to the top of the mast. So it could be a sail, but it also could be a flag.
So it's kind of nice to read and know what it is, but I don't think we can remember all the words. But we'll remember if we hear it again that it has something to do with the sailboat, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not the words you'd ordinarily talk about, unless you're talking with people who are into boats.
Exactly. And the expression that they use here, raise the family halyard for raising. So what they're saying here is it's raising the family flag, is another way of putting that. And so when you raise the family flag, you really are the ones who are getting started in something and sort of declaring it as your own.
So Cindy Lou's father then, tell us about him. What did he do?
Right, so it says, between 1957 and 1983, he completed 10 transpacks. So these big undertakings, he had done 10 of them for himself.
It's a race, and he did 10 races across to Hawaii. Wow, he was really familiar with it, wasn't he? Can you imagine that?
I cannot imagine that. So just being able to do it once or twice just seems like maybe even like a lifetime goal.
Right.
And that's sort of, I think, what they were talking here about James Partridge and making this boat in order to be able to be part of the race. But that he was able to do it 10 times is really amazing.
It really is that her father did that. So, of course, she was brought up on that. And by the time she was 12 years old, she was racing with her dad on the family's Cal 40, a boat that she still sails today. So she loves sailing. Now, she doesn't necessarily go on that trip across to Hawaii, but in California and all along the coast, Oregon and Washington, and even the East Coast of America. Florida, so many people have boats. They love to go out in their boats. And there's a lot of places in the city where they can keep their boats, moorings to put their boats. Even on the lakes in Seattle, you see all kinds of boats.
Sure.
So people like boats.
Yep. And part of her experience, it says when she was 20, she joined three others on a year-long voyage all the way from Taiwan to Borneo.
A year long. Can you imagine? From Taiwan to Borneo, it's not that far, is it? How come it would take us so long?
Well, my guess is that along the way, because now the nice thing about a sailboat is that you just use the wind, so you don't need to buy a lot of gasoline in order to get from place to place. And my guess is they took a year, because there are a lot of little islands between Taiwan and Borneo, and they spent some time really enjoying the area and traveling around by sailboat.
Maybe they went around to the Philippines, a lot of those islands, and then went down to Borneo, where there's so many different islands. So they just kind of island hopped, I think, for a year, don't you think?
It sounds like that. A lot to see in between.
Right.
Here and there.
I don't think they stayed on the boat the whole time, but they stopped off a lot of places.
You'd have
certainly.
To.
And there are many, many people who do that sort of thing with sailing.
For a whole year?
Well, it usually is by the season.
Yes.
Because there will be winds that go in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
Many times they're called the trade winds. And when the winds are blowing favorably in order to get to a destination, a lot of people will take their sailboats and follow where the winds blow.
I know, but, you know, how can you take a whole year off when you're 20 and take a whole year and just go sailing? I don't know.
That's some serious dedication to sailing.
I guess so. I mean, because, you know, you usually have a job or something you have to do or something.
Well, yeah, and there's this sort of strange sailing culture where there are owners of boats who have money, but you can't sail a sailboat by yourself.
That's true.
You have to have a crew.
Yeah.
So many times what will happen is that sailors or owners of boats will go to various ports, and they will exchange crew because you can't take a boat out unless you have enough people in order to run it. So that's kind of the crew's job, is to help maintain and run a boat. The other thing about a sailboat is that there's a lot of cleaning. And that's what we call ship shape, meaning that the boat is clean and it is ready to operate. There's a lot of cleaning involved in order to keep a boat ship shape.
Is that to, like, preserve it over time?
It is, exactly. So salt water and sun is a powerful combination, and it makes things fall apart unless they have been cleaned and protected.
So it's in her blood. She says, sailing makes her happy because it's free and peaceful feeling. And, you know, I've had friends who have bought boats when they were here in Taiwan, and they ship them to the States, and then they've been in Florida, and they go on these, just the husband and wife, just the two of them in the smaller boats. And they go all around on the rivers and stuff. So it's kind of in their blood.
Yeah, that's a really good expression. So when we say that something's in the blood, it doesn't just mean that it kind of comes naturally, but that it becomes a part of you, and you really can't do without it.
You just love it. It's your favorite thing to do. So she said it's free and peaceful feeling. And then Joel himself, what about him? When did he start?
So Joel had graduated from the California Maritime Academy. So I'm sure there, maritime referring to learning about captaining or shipping and getting some more experience.
When did he
there.
Start sailing, though?
He started sailing when he was 4 years old.
Okay.
Wow, four.
So he went on a ship with his folks, didn't he? Yeah.
Right.
He is kind of following in his mother's footsteps.
That's right.
Because here it says that his mother, which would be the Cindy Lou Commons Buffa, that she started racing with her dad when she was 12.
So now he's on this ship, this one that we call the Yacht Race. And by the way, I looked it up on the web, and they came in seventh place, which is pretty good because a lot of ships there. But anyway, he himself has already operated a 300-foot ship around the world. So, you know, he's only, what is 32 or something now? He's not very old, right?
So here it says that he graduated from the California Maritime Academy when he was 22, and that now here he's in this race, his crew. We talked yesterday about he's now 28 years old, but in between the time of when he graduated and now on this race of 28, that he's already operated or maybe even captained,
it's hard to say, but probably,
a 300-foot ship that has gone around the world. So he's already a very experienced sailor who's been in a lot of different conditions.
So what is the secret to sailing? What does it say here? What does he say?
Well, he says people think you have to have a lot of money, but in fact you don't.
A ton of money.
Right? They're more than just a lot of time.
A ton of money.
But you don't. Who has to have the money? The owner of the ship, right?
That's right.
But if you've got your own ship,
that's true.
You're okay. Of course, a large ship, as you say, takes more of a crew, but a smaller ship. A lot of people get smaller boats, just husband and wife, and little sailboats to go around, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of sailboats out there that are decent sized, that are actually designed to go quite far and could probably even do the trip from Hawaii to California the right time of year. But they're designed to be able to be operated by a very small crew.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this has been a very different kind of lesson, a lot of nautical terms, but get the idea that this boat or the yacht called the Rapid Transit last year went across to Hawaii on this race, and they came in seventh, which is pretty good.
I think in this kind of race, anything in the top 10 is really noteworthy. So
that's true.
It is a very good result.
Right. So it's been a different kind of an adventure, and maybe some of you might want to try it. I don't know if it's in your blood or not. It might get that way if you get used to it. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we like to do. And we say they're in our blood means that we enjoy it, like music and performing. And it's all in drama. It's all in your blood because you're used to it. You're brought up that way, right?
Yeah, and you might experience so much joy in sailing that it gets in your blood. Now, something is in your blood, that could also mean that's inherited from your family, right?
But, you know, I hope Advance is in your blood and you want to listen in.
There you go.
For all your life, you know. Hey, I'm a member of Studio Classroom. I meet people and say, I've been studying for 30 or 40 years, so maybe it's in your blood. So join us every day and we'll see what we can talk about. Thanks for being with us today. Smooth sailing, everybody.
Smooth sailing.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.